This reading's taken from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 56. Birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary visits Elizabeth. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Amen.
I just want to say it's a great privilege to be bringing the Word of God today. And for those that don't know, my name is Stuart Lake, and I'm one of the pastors here at Buckskin Church. But I love Christmas, if you didn't already know. It's just such a great time of year, and it's a privilege to be opening this Advent series this morning. So we're just so happy for you joining us online, wherever you are. I pray that God would speak to you this morning as I preach the Word of God. So this morning, we had a great reading from Luke 1. And if you didn't know the chapter or verses, sorry, it was verse 26 to 56. So they were the verses that were read this morning. And the title of this morning's sermon is "The Joy of Being Chosen." That should be our first slide, "The Joy of Being Chosen." You know, every single one of us, we love to be chosen. I want you to imagine with me right now that you are back in school. I know for some of you, Ian, that's probably a long time ago, but you know, I want you to imagine all the way back when you were in school, and it was that time when the bell went and it was time to go out into the garden, to the playground, and you were going to play football or tag or some sport. And you know, it came to that point where you always had to have teams. And you always had two captains. There was always two captains, and they got to choose the players that they wanted to play on their football team or on their tag team, whatever it is. And slowly by slowly, you just have that fear well up inside of you of, "Oh my goodness, am I going to be chosen? Am I going to be picked for the game, or am I going to be last, as always? And slowly, one by one, people get picked, and you're kind of left maybe to the end. I don't know about you, but that was me. I was often left until the end, and I wasn't the best at sport, as I've maybe shared before. My brother was much sportier, but I just wasn't always the best. And unfortunately for me, I don't know about you, but I was often chosen last, the last choice for the game. And so this made me just so determined to get picked first. I wanted to be chosen first. And so I threw myself into football. I loved football. I wasn't the best at it. But they, you know the saying, practice makes perfect. And so I threw myself into it. I joined a Saturday football league, and we rehearsed on a Thursday. We played on a Saturday, and I also played with the church on a Friday night. So I was playing at least three nights a week. And over the course of a year, I got kind of good. I got okay. I was not bad. Anyway, every summer we would go to a camp called Hanson Dorset Christian Youth Camp. And it was a great time, but same thing happened. You would get chosen to join teams. And often the years before, I would be chosen last. But this year I had come prepared. I had prepared myself. I was trained. I was a bit fitter. I was a bit more skilled. I'd been trained and prepared. And when it came to the point of picking, this year, even though on the first time I wasn't picked at the very beginning, I proved myself. And from that day on, I got chosen one of the first into each team for the rest of the week of Hanson Dorset Christian Youth Camp. I loved being able to be picked first. What a privilege, what an honor. And I think we all love to be chosen. We all love to be picked out. We all love to know that we are chosen. We may never be chosen like Mary, though. We will not be chosen like Mary. There is no, there's not another Messiah coming, but we are all chosen according to the word of God. I am chosen. You are chosen. Each and every one of us are chosen. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You know, God even chose you before the very beginning of time. You may not know that, you may not feel that this morning, but God chose you. He handpicked you. And the verse this morning in Ephesians 1 verse 3 to 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." God chose each and every one of us. We've all been chosen for a purpose. We've all been chosen for a higher calling. God has chosen each and every one of us. I don't know who's listening this morning, but you need to know that. You need to know that you are not a mistake. You're not an accident. God loves you, and he chose you before your parents even thought of you. He chose you at the beginning of time. And so, no matter what you can say, no matter what's been said, we can know that we are chosen. And that's exactly what Mary was. Mary was chosen at this time in history. The context of this text is actually coming earlier in Luke 1. We see that the angel Gabriel had already visited Zechariah. And he had told Zechariah that his wife would conceive a child, which is almost impossible because she was a barren woman for so many years. And we see that Zechariah doubted and he questioned the angel. And you know, no matter what happens, that was the problem, is that Zechariah doubted. But we'll see later that Mary didn't doubt the call of a savior. So who was Mary? Well, Mary was, she lived in a city called Nazareth. And Nazareth is probably one of the least likely places that you can imagine for a savior to be born. It was not very glamorous. It was never actually mentioned in the Old Testament or New Testament prior to this point in time. It was 15 miles away from the Sea of Galilee, 6 miles away from the closest major road. It had no water supply apart from a small little well in the center. Even in John 1, verse 46, Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was like the least likely place. Think of the place in the UK that you can't imagine anyone being born of any privilege or any power or position. And that is what Nazareth would be like today. Anyway, Mary was a Jewess, and she was obviously, we read that she was a virgin. And actually, she would have probably been a teenager because they got married quite young. She was quite poor, and she was betrothed to Joseph, who was a carpenter. In the early Jewish history, we understand that the betrothal was part of a three-stage of marriage. First of all, there's the engagement, which we are familiar with in the West. And that is the formal agreement, though, between not between a partner, but between the two fathers of the two families. So that was the first stage. And Mary and Joseph were in the second stage, which was the betrothal, which was a ceremony which promises were made. And actually, that was seen as already being married. And then there was the third stage, which was the marriage. And that was the formal ceremony which took place about a year after the betrothal. And so Mary and Joseph were already betrothed. They were already committed to each other. They were already in a commitment one to another. And it would have been known to the whole community. But isn't it remarkable that a woman of such low position, a woman who comes from such humble beginnings, a teenage girl can find such favor and can be chosen to do such an amazing task. If God can choose Mary, then he can choose you and me this morning. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 12 says, "But God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." No matter how weak or how inadequate you might be feeling this morning, God has chosen you. God has chosen each and every one of us, just as he chose Mary and brought her out of a seemingly poor and insignificant place. He gave her the greatest calling and chose her for an amazing task to be performed. So what can we learn then from the life of Mary in this passage? What can we learn about her response to being chosen? Because the sermon topic is the joy of being chosen. So let's have a look this morning at what her response was. The first one, and this will come on the screen, is Mary's surprise. Just take a drink. Mary's surprise. We see in verse 28, after the angel had appeared to Mary, it says, "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greetings this might be." I think that was a pretty normal and human response, to be surprised and to be confused. Each and every one of us would be surprised if an angel came before you. I don't know about you, but I've never seen an angel come and meet me and greet me. But to be told that I was highly favored and I was chosen by God would come at quite a shock. And as the angel appears to her, we see actually that this response that she makes is not a response of fear or doubt. But this response reveals her humility and her honesty before God. Never in a million years would Mary have ever expected to be called and to be chosen for such an amazing task. There was nothing special about her and nothing much to notice. And you know, many people today, sometimes we long to be chosen. And we, if we were in Mary's situation, we might have said, well, it's about time. I was expecting you to come. I was expecting something great to come. How often do we expect something greater? But actually, we see that Mary humbled herself, and it came as a great shock. Her humility and her honesty before God was the very reason that God honored her above others. You know, when I was in Australia at Hillsong College, we were going through, and I was in my first year, and it was coming up to the Hillsong Conference, and we'd already done the ladies' conference and other activities throughout the church, and I had served in many different departments, many different areas. And it was a hard slog. I was in, for Hillsong Conference, I was in the kids department. So in our area, we had 400 children, of which 100 of them I was responsible for from 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. Responsible for 100 children with only 1 hour break. And I was absolutely frazzled. I was tired. That many kids, I'm tired with Olivia, so you can imagine how tired you are with 100 children. But you know, as we were on the bus that the next morning, I didn't have a great motivation, and I was getting frustrated. I was so tired. We were waking up at 6 because we had to travel to go. We would start at 9, we would finish at 10 or 11 at night, depending, and then we would travel back and get home at 12 or 1 o'clock, depending how long the bus took. And so we were living on not much sleep, and we were serving and serving. And I was starting to get a bit bitter and a bit frustrated. And one of my friends, she was in the choir, and oh, bless her soul, she was in the choir, and that's the place I wanted to be. I wanted to be chosen to be in the choir, because you got to sing, you got to enjoy, and then you got to sit in and listen to the sermons, and you got to be a part of the very conference. But here was I slogging on the side, slogging and working in the kids' department hour after hour, exhausted every minute. And she just said in the bus, very innocent, she said, oh, I'm just exhausted. Oh my gosh. My poor friend, she probably got a bit of a mouthful that she didn't deserve. I went at her probably a bit too much, because I was so frustrated that she was complaining about being in a position that I wanted to be. I wanted to be in the main auditorium. I wanted to be worshiping God, but I was stuck there. I later apologized, because actually it showed that my heart was not pure. I was not serving God from a heart that was pure. I was serving God out of a wanting to find a place to go, wanting to get into the auditorium, searching for something else, and not being content with where God had placed me. But that's not what we see of Mary. We see that she was humble. We see that her surprise was not a surprise of fear or worry, but a surprise of humble. How humble. Oh God, I am not worthy to be called and to be chosen for this task. She humbled herself. Oh, how I wish I'd humbled myself when I was in Australia, when I was serving God, but actually I may well have been serving myself. You know, there's a quote that says, no matter how difficult your circumstances, how trying, this should be on the screen, how trying your testimony, how fearful the future feels, you can rely on the promise that when you humble yourself before God, He will lift you up. No matter how difficult your circumstance, no matter how trying your testimony, how fearful the future feels, you can rely on the promise that when you humble yourself before God, He will lift you up. Why? Because John 4:10 reassures us that if we humble ourselves before the Lord, He will lift us up. Mary was being lifted up. She was being chosen for an amazing purpose, and as a result, joy overflowed from within her. The angel went on to say, do not be afraid. I think that was probably a little too late to wish that upon someone when you've already come before them in such a surprising way. But he goes on to say, do not be afraid. And he begins to share the good news to Angel of the responsibility and the task that she had set before her. You shall conceive a child. You will bear a son. He will be the promised Messiah. He will be the Son of the Most High. He will be given the throne of David. He will reign over Jacob forever. And if you were in any doubt, the angel finishes with, his kingdom there will never end. What an amazing task. What an amazing privilege. And let's see how Mary continues to find joy in being chosen. So first of all, we see Mary's surprise. Secondly, we see Mary's surrender. That should be on the screen. Mary's surrender. It says in verse 34, Mary asked the angel, how can this be? I am a virgin. You know, Mary had no idea how this would happen. And that phrase, how can this be, is not a phrase of doubt or a phrase of, God, you are not able to do this. But it's a phrase of trying to understand, what, God, are you trying to say? How is this going to come into reality? Just earlier on in the chapter, we read the story of Zechariah, where he doubted the angel. And his question was a question of doubt because he didn't believe that God was able to do what he said. But we see so faithfully that Mary's question, how can this happen? I am a virgin, was actually not evidence of her unbelief, but it was an expression of her wonder-filled faith in God that he was able to do it. He was able to do that which he promised and that which he said. And you can read on in that verse, but towards the end he says, for the word of God will never fail. The word of God will never fail. Mary surrendered to God and to his word, knowing that there was power in the word of the Lord God Most High. I want you to take a moment and just think right now, if you were Mary. Like I was imagining when I was home, I was thinking, okay, if I was Mary and this massive task was placed upon me, I think I would start having some questions. I think I'd start going, well, God, I'm a little bit too young for this calling. I'm not even married yet. And actually, what will my parents think? What will Joseph think? What will anyone think? It will bring great shame on me. You know, in those days in Jewish culture, there was have a child out of wedlock before you were married was just such a great shame upon the family. And she probably was saying, this is not part of my plan, God. If I was Mary, I'd be saying, God, this could even get me killed. Mary had a whole lot to complain about. She had a whole lot to say, God, no, I don't want this to happen. But instead, we see her humble surrender. In verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. That word servant in there actually comes from the original word handmaid, which is the lowest kind of servant. It's actually almost like a slave, someone that is so, you wouldn't even think about them. You wouldn't look at them. You wouldn't pay them any respect. And that's what she's saying to God, is that I am your handmaiden. I am your slave. And she finds joy in the midst of difficult times. She finds joy when possibly shame would be coming her way. She finds joy when actually her whole plan has changed. She finds joy when actually she doesn't understand what the future is going to hold, but she finds joy in the circumstances because she knows God is perfect and his way is perfect. Kay Warren sums it up so well, and I believe this is on the screen. This quote, and she came up with this quote when she was wrestling with the death. So Kay Warren is the wife of Rick Warren, Saddleback Church in America. And they lost their son very tragically to suicide. And she was trying to find joy in this time of hardship. And she came up with this biblical definition of joy because she wasn't convinced by the worldly definition of joy. And so she came up with this definition. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in all things. It's the settled assurance that God is in control. It's the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be okay. And it is the determined choice to praise God in all things. I wonder this morning what you're going through. I wonder if you're struggling to find joy in this season as we approach Christmas. Maybe your world has been swept from underneath your feet. Maybe you've lost your job, or maybe you don't know how you're going to be able to pay the bills this Christmas. I don't know what you're going through, but I know that you can find joy. Why? Because it is in the assurance that God is in control. It is in the quiet confidence that everything will be okay according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is our determined choice to find joy and bring him praise. In the hardest of times, in our lowest of moments, when we're depressed, when we say, God, I've had enough, we must determine to find joy and surrender ourselves before God. William Booth said, the greatest of man's power is in the measure of his surrender. Mary surrendered herself to God. Mary, when she was surprised, she humbled herself. And lastly, we see Mary's song of worship and praise. Let's go to the last slide, Mary's song. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you can read from 46 to 56. And it's such a beautiful outpouring of worship. And Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Wow. Mary humbled herself. She surrendered before him, and her joy compelled her to lift her voice as in a hymn of praise, in a hymn of thanksgiving, in a hymn of worship unto God. We see that in Ephesians 5, it encourages, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from the heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs. Sing and make music, giving thanks to God the Father. Mary knew who she was worshiping. As she was singing and as she went into this moment of song, The very song that she was singing was because she had hidden God's word in her heart. It comes from the Old Testament, from the Psalms, and particularly from the Song of Hannah in 1 Samuel, verse 2. She'd hidden it so far in her heart, in those moments of quiet time that Matthew Skirton was talking about last week. Those moments when we're in God's Word daily. It's in these times of hardship. It's in these times of uncertainty that the joy of the Lord overflows from us, and we begin to magnify Him. And our worship and our praise overflows to the King of Kings. John Piper said, and this quote will be on the screen, "We magnify God the way a telescope magnifies a star. The star is huge, so huge it's beyond our comprehension, yet it appears to us a tiny little speck. The telescope makes it appear a bit larger to us and thus a bit more like its real self. Just so with God. When we magnify Him, we make Him look more like He really is. On this world, in our culture, God appears small and insignificant. We magnify Him. And still, far short of showing all His glory to those around us." As we begin to magnify God, we get our eyes off of the world and we put our eyes back onto who He is. We take our eyes off of the problems that we're facing. We take our eyes off of our world and how it all seems to be crumbling, and we can find joy that as we dwell on Him, as we worship Him, we will magnify His holy name and we will worship Him and fall to our knees. One of my favorite Christmas songs is "Mary, Did You Know?" And as it goes to the crescendo of the bridge, it really is building and it's becoming quite powerful. You can get lost in the music, but the words are so beautiful. "The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb." My question to you this morning is, are you praising the Lord Jesus Christ? Mary, did she know that she was carrying the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe she knew more than most that what she was holding, what she was chosen to be, would bring great freedom to us all. This morning, as we reflect on Jesus, as we reflect on the coming of Jesus again, may we worship Him for who He is. May we worship Him because He is holy. He is sovereign. Mary magnified her God and her Savior, celebrating His goodness, His faithfulness, and His power. And this morning, we're going to carry on and we're going to worship Him. Why? We're going to magnify Him because He sent His one and only Son. He sent His Son to come as a little boy, to humble Himself, to take on that of a carpenter role. He humbled Himself to take on our sin on the cross, to die, to be crucified, so that we may be set free, so that we may know eternal life, and so that we may have a place with Him in eternity. This morning, if you can't find a reason to magnify your Lord, magnify Him because He died for you and for me. Whatever you're going through, we will magnify the Lord. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose." May we hold on to that truth, and may we be like Mary and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray before we worship. Father, we come before You. And Lord, we pray, Lord God, that You would humble us. Father, that we would come in humble surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, that we would be able to worship you from the outpouring of our heart, the outpouring of our soul, just as Mary did, Lord God, that our soul would magnify the Lord, and that our spirits would rejoice in God our Savior, and that as we look and you humble us, O God, that we would behold that you have called all generations blessed, O God. And Lord, that we would know that you are mighty, and that holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. This Christmas, O God, we worship you. We magnify you. There is no other God besides you. You are the author, the perfecter. You are the beginning and the end. You are everything and more that we could begin to imagine. And so we cast our praise. We lift our heads to you. We worship you and we bow before you and say, holy, O God, holy, O God, holy, O God is your name in all the earth. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We worship you, Jesus, in your holy and precious name.